Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. When there is Eagles news, there is Elliot Shore Parks, at least afterwards. Elliot Shore Parks joins us right now. ESP, what up?
What up? How you guys doing today?
What up, EP?
We're doing all right, Elliot. So Dallas,
all right.
Dallas,
very nice.
Dallas Goedert officially an Eagle still, I guess he never left, but the details on that deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised we're here talking about this. I definitely thought there was a lot of times during the offseason where these two almost split up. Like, he was allowed to explore a trade. Other teams were allowed to make him, you know, contract offers. And here we are. So according to ESPN Fields Yates, it's a $10 million, essentially one-year deal. So Goddard loses around $4 million in cash. He could potentially get $1 million of that back in incentives. But I would say, all things considered, like, this is probably the best outcome either side could have hoped for. I think from Goddard's side, you could argue he probably hoped to cash in a little bit more. But when you're not signing a new deal until after the draft, I think only taking a $3 million hit is probably a pretty good outcome for him. And he gets to stay in Philadelphia. He doesn't have to move. And obviously a chance to compete. And then for the Eagles, they're a better team with him. So all things considered, I think this worked out as well as it could probably for both sides.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, E. I'm like, from a fan's perspective, yeah, we ought to all be happy Dallas Goedert is still here.
Yeah.
And then from the Eagles' perspective, I guess if the money is okay, Dallas took a little bit of a haircut there, and not so much that he feels underappreciated or disrespected, and we still keep a good football player here for one more year. I think it's a win-win for everybody involved, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously our job and what we do is we break down every move to the nth degree, right? The salary cap hit, what it means for 2026, the depth chart. And those are all important things with this. Like, the depth chart at tight end, they're going to have to make some interesting decisions. And you do wonder if Goddard could be back in 2026. Like, I wouldn't close a door
sure.
on that.
Yeah.
But on a simplistic level, they're just better with Dallas Goedert. Like, they're just a better team. And I'd also say that, and for a lot of moves we've talked about this offseason, it feels like we're talking about 2026 when we talk about them. Like, why do they trade Chauncey? Well, they want cash for 2026. Why do they take Jahad Campbell? Well, it's because, you know, they don't need him for 2025,
right,
and he has health concerns, and this is about 2026. The Goedert move, to me, is the first move about 2025. Like, putting out $10 million cash to have him back for next year is a big move by Jeffrey Lurie, especially in an offseason we have heard so much about how the cash they want to save for next offseason with Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, potentially Nakobe, Reed, like a bunch of players due for new deals. So this, to me, is the first, like, all-in 2025 type of move they've made.
And I got to be honest with you. As much as I was okay with them picking up the option for Jordan Davis, the fifth-year option for Jordan Davis, I had no problem with it. I understand why they did it. But you've already guaranteed him $13 million for 2026. You mean to tell me we can't find a way to keep Dallas Goedert here for a decent price? So, yeah, this to me, I've always felt like this would have been letting talent walk out the door for no reason, no football reason. Like maybe a monetary mm-hmm. reason, salary cap purposes, but for football purposes, I never saw the logic in letting Dallas Goedert leave.
I also think the injury thing with Goddard is a little overstated. Like, he does miss time, no denying that. But I think he's been available for something like 85% of his games since he came in the NFL. What really happens is he misses 2-3 weeks at a time every year. And that matters. But this is not a guy that's missed half seasons, a guy that's had season-ending injuries. He, for the most part, is available. So, you know, looking into next offseason, I'll be curious to see. There it is, curious. I'll be curious to see what his market is like. I don't think he's going to have a chance to like really up his value this year. He's not going to be one of the top options on the offense. He's probably the fifth option on the offense right now. And so he'll really be a year from now is a year older. So what his market will be, and I think it'll be very much in the Eagles price range to go out and sign him. So I think with Josh Sweat, there was kind of an understanding last year that this will be Josh's last year with the team, or I should say last year was going to be. I think with Goddard, the door is open on a return.
So, Elliot, the one thing I want to be clear, there was never a cap win getting rid of Dallas Goedert. There was never a cap win. There was maybe a couple million dollars, but
it wasn't a big enough.
But there was, if they traded him, it was going to be, I think, an $11 million hit. Like, if they,
yeah.
I keep going back to this. And it just seems like it was a ruse. They were never going to get a draft pick for Dallas Goedert. Never, never, never. They just got only a third round pick for George Pickens. And George Pickens is way better than Dallas Goedert. No offense. I think Dallas Goddard's a good player. I just
definitely
like
younger and everything else.
The way I see this, the way I try to tea leaf read is Dallas Goedert wanted an extension. They didn't want to give him an extension. He said, okay, then I want out of here. We said, okay, we'll try to trade you. And knowing full well at the end of the day, that they weren't going to try to trade him. Unfortunately for the Eagles, there was not really they cut him and save the money, but then everybody's going to look around and go, well, there's no cap savings. What are you doing here? Like, it just mm-hmm. seemed like it was eventually going to end up this way. And I just think you should have a little bit of shame.
Yeah, I knew that's where this was going. Whenever I'm asked to come on at the last minute, I'm well aware this isn't about my Eagles opinion. This is much more about
It's about both.
But I think a lot of what you're saying is true. But that changes if they draft a tight end and the board breaks their way. So I do agree with you that as we sit here today. And really what does it for me more than what you said is the fact that he got $10 million cash. Like if we were sitting here and it was $4 or $5 million or $6 million, then I think you could be like, look, they legitimately would have and wanted to move off of him, but the number's so low. It's like, why not? The $10 million that he's getting to me does make me question how real they ever were going to be about moving off him. Because $10 million is a lot of cash, especially in an offseason where they're trying to save it. So that's the number that to me makes me think that they just played this perfectly, right? Like they let Dallas test it. It didn't work out. And they ended up keeping them even if it's only $4 million, they still save a little bit of cash.
Yeah.
So Elliot, Brian Baldinger said that, and we've heard Justin Simmons talk about the Eagles before when he was on with Kay Adams. Quote from Baldy, he wants to come to Philadelphia. He wants to be there. They drafted Andrew McCube of Texas, which is good. They drafted Sidney Brown to go along with Reed Blankenship. There's players there, but no one with the numbers, the interceptions, and I really think the leadership he can provide. They just lost Darius Slay. They lost some leaders in that secondary. Just find him a house in South Jersey. He's going to be there. Do you think the likelihood? That is pretty strong. You think Justin Simmons is going to end up as an Eagle this year?
I mean, I think there's obviously a chance of it. Now, the question for me is more, when would it happen? And that would be the telling sign for me. Do they want to give Sidney Brown and Makuba a chance in training camp to win the job? Or is this really only going to be a mandatory minicamp thing where they test him out and see how it is there? Also, Vic Fangio seems to really, I mean, I've only been around him for a year, but he seems to really value training camp. It seems like those reps there really matter to him. Now, last year, I think Justin Simmons signed with Atlanta like into training camp. So if they wanted Justin Simmons and he felt like that was going to be their answer, I think Justin Simmons would be here already. Now, They did save a few million dollars with Goddard, so maybe that's money that changes things. You look at what Simmons got last year. He got $7.5 million fully guaranteed. I'd be pretty surprised if the Eagles are willing to give him that. But what Justin Simmons is he's very reliable. He's played like 1,000-plus snaps, 5 of the last 7 seasons. Obviously, he's played for Fangio. Tackling was an issue for him last year. He was one of the worst tackling safeties in the NFL. He was actually pretty much at the bottom of all starting safeties when it came to tackling. So, you know, that's not obviously not great.
That doesn't get better as you get older. You're less enthusiastic about going in there to make tackles as you get older.
Right, and his missed tackle percentage was 20%. I mean, Chauncey's was 14. And, you know, I think we all agree Chauncey was not a great tackler, at least certainly missed tackles. He laid some big hits, but he definitely missed tackles as well. So He did struggle last year tackling. So that would be a concern I would have. But look, Sidney Brown and Mukuba are completely unproven. Sidney Brown is, you know, 2 years here, and they've not put him out on the field. And Mukuba is a rookie. I don't even know if it's fair to ask him to start right away. So I think Simmons makes a ton of sense, but they've had chances to get him, and they haven't done it before. So maybe there's something Fangio doesn't like about him anymore.
You know what? I think it may be Justin Simmons thinking too highly of himself and what his true value is. I think that was a big reason why he wasn't here last year. He speaks so openly and glowingly about playing for Vic Fangio. I would imagine there's a good rapport there. But then there is the financial side of things that need to be worked out. And if they could bring him in for the vet minimum, I'm sure they wouldn't have a problem bringing him in for the vet minimum. But I'm not so sure he wants to play for the veteran minimum. I look at these two young guys, and I say, Elliot, and I was a big Justin Simmons guy. Unless both of these guys are terrible, meaning they are unreliable back there. They don't know the defense. Mm-hmm. Sidney is a lot like both Justin Simmons and CJGJ in the sense that they miss tackles. Sidney is going to miss his fair share of tackles, too. We know this.
For sure.
Yeah. So we know that.
Mukuba struggled tackling as well in college.
Yeah. Mukuba, then you got his situation. I was just wondering, like, how bad would they have to look in the OTAs in early training camp for them to go get Justin Simmons? Because other than that, you would just go with one of those two young guys, right?
Well, also, I just like, how bad can you really look in a 2-day mandatory minicamp? And I know it's more than that. They're in the building for the next 8 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it is. So I know it is more than that. But it would seem a little harsh to be like, we believe in Sidney, we're really excited about Mukuba, and then to essentially bench them. Because if Justin Simmons comes in here, he doesn't have the pool he used to, but I can't imagine him coming in and being like, I'll be a backup. So I think if you sign
him,
are doing it with the expectation that not only is it his job to lose, like the rope is probably pretty long on how long they would give him to hold that job. So I agree. Like if you want to talk about playing young players, you want it to, you know, kind of become what you are at certain spots, then you got to give him a chance. And I think Justin Simmons is a nice player, but I think you can find Justin Simmons almost at any point. Like if it's week 3, week 4 of the season and they're struggling, you have enough draft assets to go out and get a player. Now that player wouldn't have been with the team in training camp and there's an adjustment period and all that. But I don't think at this point, Justin Simmons is a special talent that you have to sign as soon as you get the chance.
Last thing, Elliot, and I didn't prep you on this, so if you don't know the answer, it's okay. It looks like per over the cap, the Eagles have almost $25 million in cap space now.
Yeah.
So how much of that goes to draft picks, and then how much space do they normally carry going into the season?
So the draft pick question's a little complicated because it has to do with top 53, but I would say the short answer would be maybe $3 or $4 million around there will go to the draft picks. Normally they want to carry, in my experience, they like around $10 million.
Okay.
Like,
that gives them some wiggle room.
Roll over.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a ton of wiggle room. I would also think, now I haven't seen the details of the Goddard contract yet, but Goddard, his cap hit was $11 million. I wouldn't shock me if that drops like $2 or $3 million and they add some dummy years onto it. So they definitely have a ton of cap room for sure. I don't think they're going to be like, cap's not the problem.
All right, Elliot. Well, Elliot, you can listen to the Go Birds podcast. Just subscribe in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm sure. Is there a Dallas Goddard emergency pod in there?
the Dallas Goedert emergency pod's been recorded since Monday. So I've just been waiting for this bad boy to come out, and it is now in the feed.
Don't tell everyone that. You don't want to tell everyone
that. Well, look, I mean, you're out here trying to shame me, you know, saying I got something wrong. I'm just surprised that wasn't more of the call. I was ready to go.
I'm just being real.
We love you. Listen.
Look, you're going to drop in the rankings.
I'm sure I'm going to drop in the rankings. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm sure Jack will text me what it is.
All right, Elliot.
All right, brother.
All right, fun times.
All right, Elliot. Man,
unbelievable.
You're the champ. Just wear it like a
champ. He's protective of his spot.
Yep.
You got to like that.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad that he cares.
Yes.
Absolutely. I wish he cared more and listened to us for the last 6 weeks when we told him what was going to happen.
Yeah, his problem is somebody's in that ear, and he's getting locked in with what they're telling him.
Yep.
he's not seeing what we see.
But you got to, you can't just take everything everybody tells you.
Right, you got to parse through it, man.
Yeah, come on. 215-592-9494. What hell I cause, judging his job publicly.
Every day.
This show.
That is not a good feeling, no. I would imagine. See, I'm going to tell you, we're in this studio,
yep.
And we sometimes forget how many people are actually listening.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. a lot of people.
Yep. So I would imagine these guys probably get people come up to them all out, like, oh, man, the afternoon show, man. They weren't giving you credit, you know, for the Eagles insider, you know. How come you're never on the list?
You know, I'm trying to make him into a sympathetic character. See, by us doing this, I become the bad guy.
Right.
Right? Like, just I'm the bad guy instead of Elliot, you know? Yeah. Every Elliot spike poll would be 50-50, or if you added a third one saying, anything but one of those two would win. I'm trying to get Elliot to the 60-40 part, you know?
Did you?
Yeah, it's just like I'm selfless. 215-592-9494. Raji in Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Raj?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you guys doing?
Raji.
I joined the show. I apologize for not ciphering through all of Elliot's content on the Odyssey app.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Been figuring out what he's talking about, but make sure I do a better job on that.
Yeah,
I suggest we demote Elliot to go into the Broads 50 and talk about. You could talk about the Flyers, the Union, the Warthogs, that lacrosse team,
the Water Dogs,
Water Dogs,
Water Dogs, Water Dogs. Yeah, yep. Just do like a a whole 50-second on all three sports and just have Elliott. And,
I like that.
And, yeah, man. Yeah, I don't know. Just like, you can't have like ESPN 2 and 3 and 4. You can't have a WIP 2.0 or a 3.0 talking about this. So
yeah,
just a suggestion. But with the Phillies, man, I agree. I kind of, it's nice weather, so I don't really get too emotional about the Phillies. I'm just happy they're a playoff contender, and I'll stress out when the weather gets cold and it's playoff time. But I wanted to talk hoops with you just because I know you guys, you know, I love talking hoops with you guys, but like, so if we don't get Cooper Flagg, and if the Rockets don't get KD for some reason, would you think trading Embiid and Paul George for KD and eating a deal, would you do that? Like a 2-for-2.
Why would the Suns do it?
Because they would be, aren't they kind of stuck too with bad contracts and
so we're just players? we're gonna stick them with a bad contract.
We're taking their bad contracts and giving them ours.
We take KD.
Yes.
Well, can I tell you? No offense, like our contracts are way worse a contract than KD. KD has positive value, so I think I would look at it this way. I think Embiid probably has slightly negative value. I think Paul George has neutral value. That would be my guess. KD, you're still going to find somebody to give you two draft picks and expirings for KD, I think. Especially if you're Houston. You know, you watch that, I hate the NBA dork out. You're watching that Houston team. Well, you're watching that Rockets team, and they were a two seed, and you're watching the team, and you feel like you're watching a team without their star because they have good players.
Who the hell is the star player on this team?
I said to myself watching that team, I was like, if Steph Curry loses to this team, Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler, like I would be ready to. So if you're the Rockets, you have to trade a couple of draft picks for a high-level player, I think. I think that's the position that they're in. So I just don't want to trade for KD. If they want to go KD for Paul George and a pick down the line, I probably think about it. Like, you know, but I'm not – people are talking about would you trade the pick – this top five or six pick and Paul George for Kevin Durant. I would not.
Well, okay, no, what about trading the pick if it's Cooper? Now, I agree, I wouldn't trade Cooper Flagg, but I'd be tempted if it's Cooper Flagg for and Maxey for Giannis.
Nope. Wouldn't do it.
No.
Wouldn't do it.
Ooh.
Wouldn't do it.
Fraud.
Giannis is 30. He can't shoot. He doesn't play center. At some point,
souped up Benson.
He can't shoot, but he averaged 30 plus points a
game. Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? It's all athleticism. And
sure,
the minute that goes down a tick, like the guys that can shoot can stick around. But the guys that can protect the rim, play center a little bit, can stick around. Like,
I got you.
I guess my point is this. If we are gifted the ability to have a great young player, along with Jared McCain, another great young player, along with Tyrese Maxey, another great young player, and instead, we're going to decide to double down on Embiid and Giannis.
Yeah, I don't like Embiid and Giannis together.
Yeah.
Now, if it was Maxey and Giannis.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd go that route with you, Raji. And by the way, I like the Cooper Flagg pick. Would not attach great to him.
To Flagg?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm still stuck, man. I think he's a number two. I don't like. He's not a number one guy that you're going to build a championship team around. And he's going to lead you to a title.
From an offensive perspective, I agree. I think he may be. I think he may be top 10 player talent, but maybe the skill set doesn't. You know, like
I'm a little slower, man. They got to come to me a little bit.
KOC sold me on Flagg.
Okay. Yeah. I know you haven't
sold me on Flagg.
The moment I questioned him about Anthony Davis, yeah.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah, well, that's a fair point. All right, Raj. You got an all-time favorite piece of electronics?
Yeah, because you're a music head. I'm going to go with the Technics turntables.
Oh, yeah. I have a pair of 1200s in my...
You got turntables?
Man. Have a good one.
All right. So I had, when I was in college and I learned how to, you know, do the turntables. I got Technics 1200s. Those are the turntables.
Wow.
Those are like the good ones.
I'm shocked.
But I don't think anybody... Bro. Enough. I don't think people. I see the DJs now, and they have the fake turntables.
They have the fake
now.
Turntables. Yes.
You know.
Nobody is using real turntables.
It looks like turntables, but it's just like. You know, it feels like cheating. The whole thing feels
like
cheating.
It really is when it comes to the whole DJing thing.
Yeah.
What we grew up with.
Yeah. All they have to do to sync up the two records is like press a button. You know, in my day, you had to listen for the hi-hat and match up the beats.
There you go.
All right. Coming up next,
scratching.
Oh, yeah. I was never good at the scratching thing. I could mix them, but I couldn't scratch them. Coming up next, we will reveal the new power rankings for Eagles Insider of the Year. We'll see if Elliott falls because of his...
Certainly sounds like me.
His exquisite failure in the Dallas Goedert situation.
Well, especially the saltiness.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's whiny.
That's because he's
about
anticipating
it.
The fall.
Well, he's whiny. He's whiny. I like when he's whiny, you know? All right, 205-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. In moments, we will reveal the new Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. Will Elliott fall, having failed to correctly diagnose what would happen with Dallas Goedert? Hard to know.
Sure seems like it's trending in one way.
Look, I'm just saying, he's the champ. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. Has the city been too hard on the Phillies to start the year? 39.3% say yes. 60% say no. Matt in South Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Matt?
Yo, what's going on, man?
Spike, what up, Matt?
Spike, Jack, how you doing?
What's up, Matt?
Dude, all right, so... I don't think we're being too hard on the Phillies. I think we're doing exactly what we need to do, and we're keeping them. It's all about accountability, you know. Like, somebody's got to keep Roger Dorn in check. You know what I mean?
A major league reference.
Roger Dorn. Yeah. I like that.
It's like drop and give me 20 every time, bro. Like, this whole offseason, all he should have been doing is stealing ground balls. Like, hitting, he can hit. He can run. When he's playing smart, he plays good. But, dude, it's driving me crazy. Like, this is Little League nonsense. And you're making – and it's not even about the money. It's really just like – he's been working harder, though. I see it. Like, that bats have been better. But the area's got to – you got to stop doing that.
You know what? I got the sense from – and, look, it's one interview. I got a sense that Trey Turner tries very hard to be a better shortstop. I just don't think he's good at it. And it's actually not just what he said. I remember when we talked to Larry Boa at spring training, and Boa said the same thing. And Boa's not going to come out and go, you know, he doesn't try very hard, but he offered it up himself. I also, when we were talking to Trey, you can sort of see, like, he seems like he cares a great deal about being a good shortstop. I just don't think he is. I don't think there's any practice in the world, which is why I think he's going to end up in the outfield, because I just don't think he can get any better. So the most frustrating part about watching Trey is that I don't think it is a question of trying harder or working harder. I just think there are some skills that you could try as, like, we could all try to be professional ball players, and we might not have the skill to, well, one of the three of us would, but we wouldn't have the skill to do it. I just don't think he's good at shortstop, you know, which is a different sort of problem than, this guy doesn't care enough and doesn't try hard.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
It's like, he's not, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's not, at first I thought it was kind of an attitude thing, but yeah. But it's not that he's not athletic enough. I just, like, the thing is, he'll, like, go deep like into, like, closer to the bag and, like, pick a ball out and make a good throw, and then sometimes he'll just sail one over Bryce's head, and I'm just like, dude, come on, like, you can do it. You definitely are capable, but yeah, maybe he's just not good enough at shortstop, and he should do what the Phillies need him to do.
Yeah, otherwise. I think the thing that you could criticize him over is, I'm a shortstop. You know, the thing that we could criticize him over is if now, I don't think he was approached to play outfield, but if he were and he said no, you know, and he will be faced with that in the next year or two, whether it's next year or whether it's the year after, depending on their options there, he's going to have to do it, and he's going to have to swallow his pride and move it. And if he's a problem about that, that's when I think we can be pissy with Trey Turner, right? Is that if he's... You know, he's obviously not any better at shortstop now.
Yeah, but I think he's very aware of that, too.
Oh, that he's not good.
That he's not better. I think he's very aware that they're giving him another year here. Like, I think he knows his leash is shorter than
shortstop.
You're just the shortstop. That's what you are.
Yeah. Matt.
You know, maybe he'll break through.
Well, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. Matt, but I'm glad, I would say this, I'm glad he's not letting it affect his is how he is at the plate. You know,
nah,
because
he's been doing better.
Yeah. Matt, for next question today, give us your favorite all-time piece of electronics.
Favorite all-time piece of electronics is the Sony VX1000, the greatest skateboarding camera of all time.
Wow.
Skateboarding camera.
Skateboarding camera.
Yeah, look it up. Every greatest skateboarding video ever made, and anybody out there who knows what I'm talking about will agree.
Like the old CKY videos or whatever were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was all filmed on VX1000s, VX2100s, and honest, maybe even a TRV-900. I'm a photographer, videographer guy.
Oh, so we can tell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait.
Gave that one away.
So you say skateboard video? Is it a camera that sits on the skateboard?
That's what I would imagine.
No,
yeah.
No. So this camera was developed for the Gulf War, actually, and it's developed. It's got a nice handle on it, and you can put different lenses on it, including the greatest fisheye lens of all time, which makes it the greatest skateboarding camera, but it's very rugged, very tough. You can put it back. It's like a little old car. Like I have like two of them, and they break all the time because they're old. It literally was made in 1995, but they're still kicking, and you can find them online for like anywhere between $400 and $900.
Wow, you learned something new every day. Real dork stuff from you there, Matt. But interesting fact. Yeah, I like it. There's Matt, the Sony X7 1000.
I thought it was the type of camera, you know, you put on the front of the skateboard.
Yep.
And it gives you the view as if you're riding the skateboard.
So when he's talking about these old skateboard videos, because I remember watching these, is like CKY, which it was BAM and like all those guys. There is a specific aesthetic to the skateboard videos. They all have that fisheye lens, and they all sort of look exactly the same.
That was part of the... they weren't a part of the X Games.
I mean,
it could have been, yeah.
Well, skateboarders were part of the X
Games.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking that's where I would.
Yes, be that's where you see that stuff.
See it.
Yeah.
Is they used to have a skateboard park.
Yes.
Right? With all that stuff in there. Yeah.
Is skateboarding still a thing?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like it was so big, like early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't you see any
skateboards with the backpacks?
Like, where's Tony Hawk? Like, where's the next Tony Hawk?
We gotta get a big star like him. I remember the Tony Hawk days. I remember that.
So the
Tony Hawk's pro skater.
So the other, you know, it used to just be Vans or whatever, but Nike has a huge skateboard thing, and one of the biggest things.
Nike. Yeah, of course they jumped in.
Oh yeah, Well, one of the biggest things that happened to grow skateboarding was actually when black kids started getting into skateboarding. That
Lil
was
Wayne.
Like a that was a huge like growth thing or whatever. What, Lil Wayne was skateboarding?
Lil Wayne did. He went through a whole skateboarding phase where he was into it.
Oh, really?
Was it Lupe Fiasco?
Lupe Fiasco, Kick Push.
Right?
You remember that song, Kick Push?
Yes,
is about skateboarding.
Where is Lupe? He had a good run there for about 3 years.
Yeah, he had one good album, I thought, Lupe Fiasco did.
Sure.
Chicago guy. I think he was a Kanye guy
somewhere,
as well.
Somewhere with all that.
All right, we will get you the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings right after I tell you. If there's a power rankings for going to buy a brand new Hyundai, Colonial,
there
number one. There's not even like a whole power rankings. There's really just one, Colonial. Unlike Elliot, who falls down on the power rankings, Colonial never falls down on the power rankings. Elliot should look up to the cars are John Ashdale, sitting there at number one, the staff at Colonial. Tons of Hyundais for you. Tons of Hyundais. And the stress that you think about when you go to buy a brand new car, none of it at Colonial. First, you walk into their brand new, exquisite dealership. You're like, this feels nice. Then you're going to get treated well, and the process from beginning to end is just going to be fast, easy, and better. And anything that you're stressing over, whether it's the price of the car, they got a Hyundai in your price range, whether it is financing as low as 0%, they can, even if you got shaky credit, they're going to figure it out with you. Whether it's your trade, they're going to give you the right price. And whether it's the car that you need, well, they've got over 200 brand new Hyundais on the lot. So whether it's an Ioniq 6 or whether it's a Palisade or a Kona, whatever it is, they've got it. Don't wait. Colonial is going to take care of you right now. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. It's time for the power rankings.
Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings.
Here we are. The mystery. Does Elliot fall from his perch at number one?
Wow.
The catbird seat, as many say. I've never understood that.
Yeah, I don't know what catbird means.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems like hunting, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know. So, number five on the Eagles. Now, remember, Elliott, champion, and has been number one for weeks now.
Correct. We also assumed he was right about Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, well, and that was, he was actually very wrong. we tried to talk him out of it.
Big old swing and a miss.
Yep. Number five, Field Yates. He is actually the person.
Field Yates?
Well, so Field Yates broke the numbers on Dallas Goedert. So on how much the contract was going to be, how much the restructure was. So Field Yates, we usually don't like national guys in there, but he did it.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Saraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Saraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Number four, Brian Baldinger. Just Baldy. Popping up out of Baldy. Nowhere with his, I was going to say Larry Sanders. I forgot the guy's name.
Nice, Larry Sanders. Interesting.
Yeah, that is not his
Reggie
name.
Sanders,
no,
not Reggie Sanders?
I'm thinking of the safety.
You're thinking of Bob
Justin
Sanders?
Simmons.
Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons. Baldy had the Justin Simmons report. Not Larry Sanders, Justin Simmons. Baldy at number four. Now, if that ends up being true, Baldy shoots up. If that ends up being untrue, Baldy shoots down.
That's right. And he got to start respecting your football opinion.
Mayock does.
Yeah.
You know?
Mayock's the friend of the show.
Yep. Number three on the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. Elliot Shore Park.
Wow. Wow. He's going to be thrilled.
Is just, well, look, this was a hit. And it's one report, but it's a report that is weeks long.
Sure.
He insisted Dallas Goedert was worth a draft pick.
Now, I guess we got to give him credit because he changed his tune.
He did.
And he was one of the first, if not the first, saying he's going
to
be back.
This sounds like a text to you that he said.
No, I'm just keeping it fair and honest.
Okay, that's true.
Fair and balanced. That's what again, I don't know who the committee is, but I think the committee should also say that's why he's still three and not completely out of the power rankings. Yes.
Yeah, but we can't forget that it was fake news for 6 weeks.
A lot of fake news.
Misinformation, disinformation, whatever it is.
Couldn't, you know, again, we always talk about the smell test on this show.
Yep.
Had no smell test.
No.
Something was amiss.
Yeah, what worm was in his ear? Okay, number two, Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. His first appearance in over a year, Ruben Frank.
Rube!
So you may ask, how does Ruben Frank in there? Well, we had Ruben Frank on draft night, and we said, Ruben, what about the idea of Dallas Goedert being traded for a draft pick? And he was like, he's 30 years old. He gets hurt all the time, and he's owed $14 million. No one's going to trade a draft pick for Dallas Goedert.
That's called a veteran reporter understanding the situation.
Yep, yeah. Sniffing it out.
No cub reporters, as your dad used to call me on the air.
No worms.
That's right. And I will say, I'm glad Rube's back on the on the list, because at the beginning, was not a huge fan, I believe, of Eagles Insider of the Year.
Nope.
And now he's gaining appreciation. I think if we just brought on Rube to rip other beat reporters,
he would love it.
Could be an hour.
Yep, would love it. And number one, much to our dismay, as he is the first one to report today that the Eagles and Dallas Goedert were close to a restructured deal. And he's been number one before. He was number one for a long time in the very beginning of these power rankings.
Yep.
The newspaper reporter.
Yeah, I hate to say it.
Yeah. No, I mean, not happy about this at all. I don't want him up there that day. But fair is fair.
Exactly. All the national guys, our good friend Tip McManus gave him credit.
Yep.
Garofolo gave him credit. All of them were like, look, Jeff McClain said that.
Number one.
Wow.
Number one.
Using his name.
I know. That's my bad.
Slipped up. Yeah. He won't say our name. We won't say his.
That's right.
Get
my
out
bad.
Of here.
My bad.
Ongoing feud going on.
Yep.
Not sure he even knows about it.
Yeah, I think he does.
I'm sure he does.
Yelled at him once out there. So I think he does.
Well, he certainly made sense it with me.
Oh, really?
Considering I was always friendly with him.
Hey,
yeah,
hey.
I was like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't be dissing the radio station.
Exactly. Nope. I need him to walk past like one time and like, give him a little like, like two for flinching.
French at him, yeah.
Forearm. Yeah. Oh, just to scare him?
Yeah, two for flinching. See,
two for flinching.
Yep.
High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
You want to do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
Now, the first thing that we have to address in the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, listen.
Very sad.
There's been a lot of great bits on this show.
Yeah.
Some have lasted longer than others.
This one had so much potential.
This one had so very much potential. Who could forget on yesterday's show, we debuted this.
It's the Alec Boehm Home Run Tracker.
It's going! Yes! And it is gone! Yes!
Yeah.
Well, mea culpa, as last night we got this.
3-1 pitch, and it swung on, hit well. Right field corner, going back on it is Jankowski, and that one is gone. Opposite field, Alec Boehm, first homer of the season. Finally, for Alec Boehm, it's a two-run shot, and it's a 3-0 Phillies lead.
Yeah, very sad. Well, I mean, I'm glad he hit the home run.
I tell you what,
for the bit, man.
I know, but at the same time, let's go inside the show here for a second.
Yeah.
Getting it over with on the first night, or it had either be the first night
or
a month.
Yes.
You know, like a week, I don't know if it really does it justice. The way that everyone reacted to it immediately, so many messages, ats, you know, DMs, there it is, thank you for saving Boehmer.
Yep.
It was quite the moment.
Yeah, I couldn't text you fast enough.
Well, I'm getting home earlier now. My wife is taking the dogs for a walk. And I see her. I was like, hey, I'll come for a walk. Right. And I get back to the house. I look at the phone. And all I see is a text message from Mike that says, Boehmer, or whatever, exclamation point. And I can't believe the home run report is over.
On the first at bat.
The first at bat first of the first bat. Day of the Alec Boehm home run report.
And watching it live, you're like, that ball got over the fence.
Yeah, well, listen, it was little Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
I think we put it on the – I vote we put it on the shelf for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we –
2 weeks.
We're back at it again.
We can bring it back.
Yeah, we're going to have – we might have – he's not exactly been a power threat his entire career.
Yeah, we can bring it back.
So bring it back.
Yeah.
So just in case we don't for the final time.
Yeah.
Is he still on pace to hit 15 now?
No.
I think he's on pace for about 5. But
yep.
One a month. Well, but for one, for good measure on the way out, RIP, Alec Boehm Home Run Tracker.
It's the Alec Boehm Home Run Tracker.
It's going,
yes!
And it is gone!
Yes! Yeah. Man.
I was going to say, he didn't sound that excited yesterday when he
No, well, that was Bedlam at the bank, so two different kind of stakes.
At least we got one of them, because
was the fear.
When Jack first had the idea on Friday, we didn't have it ready.
Right.
And I said, you know, he's going to hit one this weekend. And we at least got
one of them in there.
We at least
got
one.
Just to introduce it.
Yep.
All right. I need to do the official statement before we move on here. I know they won the Super Bowl. Too many Eagles chants last night after Philly's home run.
A lot of them.
I'm sure there was people like, not me. Not me.
We get a lot of transplants down there. People that move down there.
Castellanos goes yard. I'm happy. I'm thrilled. By the way, seemed like a big inside joke. They were all really happy for Casty. I want to know what the story was. I couldn't tell if maybe it says Edwin Uceda hit him last year, and then he hit the home run.
Oh, maybe.
And they were like, we got him. But immediately, raining down was Eagles chants all throughout George Steinbrenner Field. I was hot.
Well, you're the one that did it at the stadium last year.
Yeah, I know.
Remember that.
Against my will and with some liquid courage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I heard him. I did hear him a lot last night.
You were probably thinking
maybe
of
you shouldn't have given up on the team.
Yep. Well, listen, we'll address that in the top 5 of 5.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know if you guys know this. Obviously, for a long time, you know, one of my most passionate bits was I needed someone to hit for the cycle to erase David Bell's name from the Phillies history books. Now, two guys have. Weston Wilson is now technically the last guy to hit for the cycle. JT had the cycle and erased his name. That's great. So the two that now that I need erased in the record books is, one, someone needs to take down Papelbon's saves record.
Definitely.
But
never going to happen.
Might never happen. Especially Rob Thompson here, because he is not a he's a closer by committee guy. But also, we are 6 games away. 6 consecutive games away from Kyle Schwarber possibly passing Odubel Herrera
on base
for the longest on base streak in Phillies history.
How many games away?
So 6. Odubel's at 40.
Okay.
That's the all-time streak, which seems crazy. We've had some great players here. Odubel being number one.
Especially when you think about that. What's the hit streak record? 56?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, how did somebody, like, a hit in 56 straight games sounds crazy. Yeah.
Now, the on-base streak, I believe, is by Ted Williams.
Okay.
And that's in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
So, like, he was on, obviously on base a ton, the splendid splinter Teddy ball game.
But, well, I would imagine you bat 400, you got on base and all the lives.
I would say so.
Yep.
But I'm still surprised. Like, we have Schmidt, we had Pete Rose, we've had Utley, Rollins. Like, I'm surprised at 40, except by Odubel.
Yes.
Is the on-base streak for the franchise. Yeah.
Well, I would love for Schwarber to get that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
We need that one broken.
Yeah, come on, Schwarbs.
Yeah.
Speaking of Schwarbs, we also need him extended. I know Spike's been anti this. Jeff Passan said yesterday, he reported.
Yeah, well, 4 years, 100, it thinks he can get.
So this is what he wrote. I summarized it as 4 years, 100. He said, a designated hitter who's going to be 33 next opening day, getting a nine-figure deal, question mark. Schwarber is an outlier in so many other respects, so why not here, too? He's terminally productive. He's an exceptional clubhouse leader. Nobody would blink at giving him $25 million a year and at a four-year ask, particularly in a weak class on high-end bats.
Well, yeah, he had him in. I read the article. So the article broke down $100 million guys, $200 million guys, $300 million, so on and so forth. And Schwarber was in the $100 million guy situation.
Right. So we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. The toughest part about losing him, obviously, leadership stuff, we can argue that. They don't have anyone that can hit 30-plus home runs without him, besides him and Harper. And they still need Thump.
Yeah, I mean, is Harper a 30-plus home run guy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you lose Schwarber, the slug goes way, way, way down.
Yeah, for sure.
And
unless you replace him with somebody.
I don't think that guy's out there. Unless you're paying Tucker $500 million.
That's what I'm saying.
And also come hang out with Seltzer and I tonight at Casey's in Drexel Hill for a little High Hopes watch party.
Oh, does that mean you're not doing? Are you doing leading off?
I'm doing leading off. I'm not doing final out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Casey's
a big loss for everyone involved.
Yeah. Drexel Hill though, going a little Delco, and that's real Delco over there. Casey's in Drexel Hill.
I'm going to see your father-in-law.
Yep, Joe will be over there. I'm sure. All right, cool. What do we have? Wow, we just had so much Jack, and now we have the top 5 of 5.
It was 6 minutes of Jack.
Yeah, all right. Well, it was a lot. I don't know if you heard that guy earlier, sleeps in Howie Roseman shirt.
Exactly, yeah. He seemed like a nice, reputable source.
Yep. What is coming up in the top 5?
Five people that have to grow up.
Huh. Oh, no.
Yep. So that'll be a good one.
Well, I'm on the list. I'm sure I must be on the list.
No, you're on the list. Don't worry. All right, it's just a matter of how high.
Yep.
That'll be a good one.
So you're not going to be on the list. I'm going to be on the list.
I don't have to grow up.
Yes. All right. Top five is next.
When I'm on the list, he normally does an entire list.
You're right. The 5 ways that Ike needs to grow up. Yeah. All right. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.